From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Hi, this is Brandi McDonald, entertainment writer for the Oklahoman and News OK. Welcome to this week's entertainment podcast. I'm here with features and entertainment intern Nathan Poppy. And we are going to run down the six, count them, six movies that you have to choose from in Oklahoma City theaters this weekend. There are some of them that are good. There's some of them that are funny. There's some of them that are so bad, it's not even funny. And Nathan's going to kick it off by running down a little bit on one of the ones I think is, I understand is good, that it's a funny one. The Hangover, and you're filling in for Gene Triplett, entertainment editor who couldn't be here today. Tell us what Gene thought about The Hangover.
Gene really enjoyed The Hangover. This film is completely hilarious. Todd Phillips, who's brought us such comedies as Old School and Road Trip, is up to his old tricks. This is a more raunchy comedy set in Las Vegas when a bachelor party goes awry. And lo and behold, the one who's supposed to get married, Doug, misplaced.
Misplaced. Like it. Misplaced groom. Always... hilarity.
He is completely gone, and so the boys dig through their pockets, try and find receipts, whatever they can, to, you know, piece together where he's gone, and it's a ridiculous tale. They run into things like Mike Tyson, you know, crazy kidnappers, strippers, you know, all those heartwarming Las Vegas things, but it's a hilarious romp, and definitely worth checking out.
All right, I think we have Justin Bartha, Bradley Cooper, some good young comedic talents in that, so sounds very, very promising. I'm going to switch over to something that's funny, but in a bit of a different vein. The Brothers Bloom. This is one that's been around for a while. It's finally getting the Oklahoma City platform release. And I went to see this one at the Dallas AFI Film Festival earlier this spring, and it is terrific. This is writer-director Rian Johnson's follow-up to his acclaimed 2005 debut Brick, which was kind of a California high school noir. The Brothers Bloom really is, it mixes sort of magical realism with these very eccentric characters and quality con men capering. It's a comedy, but it's also a con movie. And he pretty much, if you watch the first 7 minutes of this film, which I think you can on Cinematical online, it will hook you. And what's amazing is that it only gets better from there. But it introduces these orphan brothers who are sort of budding shysters named Stephen and Bloom, and takes them through their initiation into conning, and then jumps ahead to where Stephen and Bloom, who are known as the Brothers Bloom, we don't know quite how the naming works here, but
just sort of happens.
But Stephen is played by Mark Ruffalo. He writes all of these schemes with the mindset that the best cons are the ones where everyone wins, including the Mark. And Bloom, who's his younger brother, played by Adrian Brody, gets the starring role in all of these stories. But Bloom is ready to get out. He's tired of being being in the con game, wants to live what he calls an unwritten life, something where his brother hasn't written a script for it. So Stephen promises to devise one last big job. Sounds like a conflict cliche, but the way it comes together, it doesn't turn out that way. But for their final performance, Stephen gives Bloom the task of getting close to an eccentric heiress named Penelope Stamp, who's played by Oscar winner Rachel Weisz. And he's supposed to get close to Penelope so that they can draw her into this con of traveling to Europe to obtain this rare antiquity. It involves Penelope making this $1 million investment, which will be where they get the cash out of it. But she's lonely. She's holed up in this really bizarre New Jersey mansion where she collects hobbies. Basically, she looks for things to master.
She can do anything, card tricks, the whole lot.
Card tricks. She does gymnastics. She does skateboarding. She knows how to rap.
Oh, wow.
She makes pinhole cameras out of any kind of fruit, which is fun. She's lonely and she's bored, and so they think that Penelope will come out a winner of this, even if she loses the money, by giving her a little taste of adventure. So I really thought that Brothers Bloom was great. It was great in the con film tradition in that, you know, there's a real slippery plot and you're not sure when you're being conned or who's being conned or what's going on with the cons, and the characters are just really incredible. All of the acting is terrific, but I have to say one thing. Oscar nominee for Babel, Rinko Kikuchi, the Japanese actress, absolutely steals the show as a virtually silent explosive expert named Bang Bang, who is the Brothers Bloom's expert. She's a very enigmatic character. She just showed up one day and started helping them, and she knows how to blow anything up and loves blowing stuff up. So, and she only has two lines in the whole movie and manages to steal the show. Feature about her in Weekend Look, definitely read it. Definitely see the Brothers Bloom. 3.5 stars. Now over to Nathan. Land of the Lost.
Land of the Lost.
Got 1 star from Christy LaMire of the Associated Press and gets the finger of shame from us because
it was not screened
in Oklahoma City for critics.
No, finger of shame.
Finger of shame.
But Christy, also not very amused. She was not happy with the classic Sid and Marty Krofft Saturday morning cartoon revision. Take all of those old episodes and add about $100 million budget, and that's kind of what we get here. Will Ferrell is up to his old tricks, obviously, but just seems like more of the same from him. It's just a little Anchorman in the forest, if you will, and instead of driving a car, he's driving a time machine, and they travel back through time and space. And with Will Ferrell with him, he takes Danny McBride, who was actually hilarious in Pineapple Express, but here he is doing the same role again, and we don't know whether or not that the source material is being mocked or if they're doing an homage to the old cartoon, so we really don't know what's going on here. It's kind of a mixed, muddled sort of comedy, and it's not nearly as amusing as Will Ferrell would like it to be. So it seems unfortunate that this wasn't all that it was meant to be. Kind of a summer flop, I guess. Is this our first one?
I don't know, but it's one that's not getting very good reviews, and it's kind of a shame because Sid and Marty Krofft always had a really unique vision, if nothing else. It was their shows, and I think that Land of the Lost actually wasn't it live action. I haven't seen episodes in years, but it was put in the Saturday morning cartoon lineup, very much in that vein. Live action, it was very low budget, but it was always something that was very trippy, very original. That's the way it worked with the Krofft brothers, with all of their projects that they did. And Land of the Lost is probably the best known one that they did. Mm-hmm. Cult classic. A lot of people really, really love this, and it's a shame that it was basically turned into a vehicle for Will Ferrell to do his same old shtick. So that's sad. We wouldn't know because we didn't see it, but, maybe you shouldn't see it either since I think Christy gave it 1 star. Oof. And speaking of 1-star reviews, there's another one on the lineup this week. I'm filling in right now for George Lang, who is on assignment and out of town. And he went to see My Life in Ruins, which is the latest project from Nia Vardalos, who is best known for Big Fat Greek Wedding. And she's back trying to mine Mount Olympus and Greek culture for laughs. Does not work, apparently, in My Life in Ruins. It won't ruin your life. It's just boring and tacky.
Oof.
But basically, she's once again playing this haplessly trapped travel agency employee. She works as a tour guide in Athens. And she can't stand showing off antiquities to these shallow tourists who all they really want to do is get to the snack bar and the trinket store. And she's marking time, basically waiting to see if she'll be offered a stateside job and get out of there, dealing with loud and stupid Americans, boozy Australians, shoplifting senior citizens, lusty Latina divorcees, and an amateur comedian played by Richard Dreyfuss. And they are all complaining about George's overly academic tour pattern and just want to eat. And there's also a scatologically named bus driver. That's Poopy Caca. That's the kind of laughs.
Name of the year.
Apparently, that's the kind of laughs that you're getting out of this. So he said that unlike the 2002 hit My Big Fat Greek Wedding, Vardalos did not write My Life in Ruins. The new film shares none of the former film's charm. It's a sitcom writers, Mike Rice and director Donald Petrie from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and Just My Luck. Imagine this. And he says it's a groaner. It's a desperately unfunny attempt to tie the gorgeous locales of Mamma Mia and Sister of the Trembling Pants to cultural humor of My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but unfortunately it's just packed full of cultural stereotypes from around the world. And as cheesy comedies go, this is fetid feta.
Oof.
Go,
ooh,
George.
Stinky cheese.
Stinky cheese, apparently.
Oof. All right.
Back over to Nathan, and you've got What are we? Rudo y Cursi.
This is a Spanish language film. It's going to be showing at Quail Springs Mall as part of the AMC Select. I only give it 2 stars. Not promising. Not promising at all. Although it has some pretty promising actors and talent involved with it, Gael Garcia Bernal and Diego Luna, who are reuniting after Y Mama Tu Tambien, I believe, is the name of the film. But this time, the two play brothers who are aspiring soccer stars. First, they're picking bananas, and then they're approached by the sleazy, really slimy talent scout. And he grabs them one at a time. They head to the big leagues to play soccer in Mexico City. And it's just unfortunately predictable. The brothers both find their own vices and get lost and, you know, forget their true path. Their whole goal was to build a house for their mother back in their small town, but they totally forget about that after they start scoring goals. But it's just unfortunate because these guys, they don't learn anything on their trail, and you don't end up caring about them. So it's an unfortunate tale.
Does not score a goal.
Does not.
No goal.
I'm throwing a penalty card.
No, penalty card.
Cannot suggest it.
Diego Luna, I mean, he's really starting to convince me that he's a bad actor. I mean, because, you know, in Milk, he was basically, it's like, great performance, great performance, great performance, really strong performance, great performance. Diego Luna stinks. And I'm just really starting to be concerned about him. Because it seems like his performances don't seem to be getting better. They actually seem to be devolving. So that's a little...
His co-star, Gael Garcia Bernal, who's also had several strong performances, he's actually the only shining thing in this movie, and he has an excellent rendition of Cheap Trick's I Want You to Want Me in Spanish. So that was the most entertaining thing in the film.
That sounds worth watching right there. We never like to end it on a bad note. Sometimes we have to, but this week we do have another film that is another option for you at the Oklahoma City Museum of Art. It's Everlasting Moments. It is a Swedish language film. What's interesting about this one, Nathan, is that this film actually kind of gets a little bit of a bad rap because it is the film that kept Let the Right One In for being nominated for an Oscar under the current Oscar rules, which stink. For foreign language, a country can only submit one film.
Mm-hmm.
So one film, one country is the rule. As if, I guess, unless you're from Britain, Canada, or the United States, you're not allowed to have one good movie in your country per year. But it came down to this film, Everlasting Moments, and Let the Right One In, and the powers that be in Sweden decided to submit Everlasting Moments, probably because it's more traditional Oscar bait, so to speak. But I mean, that doesn't by no means makes it a bad movie. I was interested to see if it was any good or if they just said, we're not going to submit horror vampire drama, we're going to submit something else. Everlasting Moments actually made it onto the short list. It didn't actually end up being one of the final nominees, but it made it onto the list of 9. It was also nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Foreign Language Film, and very worthwhile film. We're talking about something that is a compelling family drama that really explores the power of art. And it's based on true events in acclaimed Swedish writer-director Jan Troell's extended family. I am not Swedish and have no Swedish background, so I'm not going to attempt to name any more names of actors. But this is an extremely well-acted movie, very canny cinematography, steady direction. It really is a great film, but it's based on true events and the writer-director's extended family. I think it's his wife's aunt had sort of a similar experience. But it's a period drama. It's set in Sweden at the turn of the 20th century. This is a time of a lot of social unrest, a lot of change, a lot of poverty, and it centers on a young housewife named Maria, who she stays busy caring for her 5 young children and also wrangling her alcoholic husband Siegfried, who, when he's sober, he's very charming and works a very hardworking individual. When he's drunk, he's womanizing and abusive, and he's a lout. When Siegfried gets tossed in jail, which is not the last time that's going to happen in the course of the movie, Maria despairs over how she's going to feed their family, and in a cabinet she finds an old camera that once held special significance for the family but has never really been used. She takes it to a camera shop to pawn it for grocery money, but the owner of the shop, Sebastian Peterson, refuses to buy it until she at least uses it once, until she at least tries it.
How's that work out?
And she... she is immediately captivated by this camera's ability to capture moments.
Mm-hmm.
She has a natural eye for photography, a natural knack, and she finds a creative outlet in this that sort of helps her deal with the hardships of her life, but also provides a way for her to make money for her family. She starts getting jobs, taking photographs for people and for businesses. And she also forms this close bond with Sebastian, who's the camera shop owner. He's very gentle. He's a photographer. He's a violinist. And the attraction seems mutual, but they are both married, and so there's definitely some hesitation there. And when Siegfried gets out of jail, he's sort of stuck between appreciating Maria's sort of newfound talent and finding ways to use it and loving seeing photos of his children and resenting the confidence and the self-reliance that she gets out of creating her art and being able to provide money for their family. And he fiercely objects to her having a relationship with another man, even if it's just a friendship.
Don't tell Siegfried about it.
So the film follows their family through war, for World War I, through the arrival of two more children, seven total children, major illnesses, other life events, as Maria records her life with her camera, and Siegfried tries, sometimes violently, to force her to give up this
artistic gift,
which has become basically her life's passion. And the film is effectively narrated by their older daughter, their oldest daughter, Maja. And it's a very graceful, very intimate family drama. It sometimes plods, it kind of drags a little bit. It's 2 hours and 11 minutes. But it really does draw you in and really does sort of capture your heart as you watch Maria. And even if you don't agree with the decisions that Maria makes about her life, you have to admire her strength and her will. So definitely worthwhile. It was not a film that was just a kind of gimme because we didn't want to go with vampires for Let the Right One In. So I think it's gotten a little bit of a bad rap. Definitely worth seeing. It's playing Friday and Saturday at the Oklahoma City Museum of Art. Guys, you have choices out there. And you've got Brothers Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Highly recommended if you're in the mood for something a little on the wilder side.
And also The Hangover.
So
crazy good time.
You've got some choices. You've also got some cautionary tales in there, people. And maybe you shouldn't go see Land of the Lost. Maybe you should just catch Sid and Marty Krofft's old gig on DVD. So, but that's the movies you have to choose from this week. Go out and see a show, or stay home, watch a DVD.
Choose wisely.
But catch the Week in Look section and catch us next week. Thanks for downloading.